Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby, who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed. Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
If you've got three kids and you're shoving them in a Mustang because you don't think a minivan is cool, I just don't understand you.
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood.
At face value, you should say that you'll stop at one child to maximize your subjective well-being.
With Margaret Abels
and Amy Wilson.
If you were in search of some really solid how many kids should you have metaphors, you came to the right place today.
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas
so you don't have to.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. This is Amy.
And this is Margaret.
And today we're talking about what is the right number of kids.
If the answer is none, we're all in a lot of trouble.
Right. But I do want to say something before we start. May I? I just want to say to everybody listening that obviously I hope this episode is just for fun. There's no actual judgment here from either one of us on how many kids you should have.
None, not at all. I can't even judge people who have like 14.
Oh, hopefully, obviously, the number you have is the number that you think is the right number have, right?
Of course. And there's lots of reasons why people have different numbers of kids, and some of them are not entirely voluntary.
So before we start, I just want to say that, yes, we know that there are parents and probably even people listening for whom this is not a lighthearted question or something that was entirely in their control, and we get it, and we hear you. And one of our listeners, we asked on our Facebook page and our Instagram page for input on this, and as always got all kinds of funny and interesting feedback. And we have a listener, Mahima, who put it, as many babes as you are blessed with is the perfect number.
She's right.
She's right.
Gave me a little goosebump chill.
Ooh. But even if that's true, this is a question that all of us engage with at many different times in our lives, right?
Yes. And the rebuttal from that was from my Aunt Terry, who was once featured on the podcast. And she always says that her grandmother used to say she wouldn't take $1 million for one of her kids and wouldn't give a nickel for one more. And like, I think that's a lot of it too, you know, like, sure, you value the ones you have, but let's turn off the spigot, please.
What you got is what you got. And I mean, did you start talking about this when you were playing with Barbies and you were 8 years old? Because I did. You talk about...
No. I wasn't one of those, like, thought a lot about kids, although my daughter does it. Like, how many kids do you... She has them named. She thinks about
right,
it
the
a
names.
Lot.
Mm-hmm.
Little Serena and Michael. You know, she's got it all figured out.
Your grandchildren, your future grandchildren are already planned.
Oh, yeah. They're all sorted out.
Amy was
still working on the concept that the father of those babies is not going to be her brother. So we have some stuff to still work through on this.
Let's hope not.
No, I'm like, that's illegal. And she's like, I don't understand. But I'm like, listen, we'll talk about it later.
My name is actually my mother's, like, growing up playing with dolls. Amy was, you know, the name that she would always imagine that her baby would be called. And then
that
was
so
really
sweet.
Our name.
But so then your mom... I mean, we always like to shout out Nancy Wilson. She is that kind of mom. Like, she's so sweet-tempered. She seems to really love being a mom. Like, it's like her dream came true, having kids, which is not, God bless you, Nancy Wilson, everybody's experience.
That is not everybody's. She definitely has the temperament for many children. So.
And anyone who's behind the script, she has 6 children. So
yeah,
it's really
yeah.
good that she was into kids because she has a ton of them.
So it starts out what you think you want, which I knew I wanted... You know, I knew I wanted kids always. That was a given. And I wanted, you know, several. And then, of course, there's what life actually gives you. One of our listeners, Yvonne, says she wanted 5 and life gave her 2. And that was for a lot of reasons. And
yeah,
so
I have a
that.
Couple of friends who wanted lots and life gave them none or one. Like it's not just what you want.
And then there's also that moment. I think the other time you really engage with this question is when you are a parent and you're holding your baby at 2 a.m. and you think, am I done? Am I done? How will I know if I'm done? Is this the last one? How do I tell? How will I know?
Well, I have a kind of unique experience of this because I got married when I was 36.
Okay.
And my basic outlook was I always kind of wanted to get married and have kids, but never yet. And then when I was 35 and single, I kind of thought, it's now. Like, I just kind of realized, like, I was single, living in Los Angeles, 35, which basically in LA means like you're never going to meet anyone under 65 who wants to date you, you know, like it's a weird town. And then I very, very fortuitously and luckily met my husband. We got engaged pretty much right away, got married a year later. And at which point I was 36, I guess. My husband, I remember on a date, had this funny conversation where he was like, I really like the idea of being married for a couple of years before having kids. And I was like, dude, have we met? I'm 36. Like, if we are going to have kids, we're going to have them the day after we get married. And basically, we got married December 9th or 10th, something around there. And our first kid was born September 25th. So that's 9 months and 15 days later.
Whoa.
So we got right to business. My plan was always like, I'd like to have as many kids as possible, considering the fact that I'm already 36, 37 years old. And then 4 years later, we had 3 kids under 4, and I was like, okay, this plan is going a little too well. We need to put the brakes on. Like, it's possible. And I come from a long line of Irish peasant people. Like, I have cousins who've had natural kids at 46, you know, and later. And so I suddenly realized, like, oh, wait, I could potentially have 7. Like, I always thought, well, we'll just have as many as possible because I'm so old. But then when I had 3, 4 years later, we had to kind of make a decision, like, and holding.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I have a feeling that I could have really kept going.
So I made a list of the factors that play into this decision. And that was my first one, is how old you are when you start. Obviously, how much runway you have is going to play into how many you're actually going to get to have. My mother had six, but she started young. She started when she was 24. So,
yeah, I had like one of those like island nation runways that like is so short that if you don't hit it exactly, you end up in the sea. Very little runway.
And of course, here's the most obvious factor, perhaps, is how much money you have to contribute to this endeavor. You ready for a statistic?
I mean, for sure. No, I don't want to hear it. I'm going to just, everyone else listen, I'm just going to block my ears.
Okay. Okay, everybody else. A 2015 report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Center for Nutrition Policy. I don't know why they're studying this, but this is where our tax dollars are going.
You got to feed these things. That's why.
They estimate that for a child born in 2015 to a middle-income married couple family, average, will spend $233,000 on that child from birth through age 17. That does not include college.
Does not include college. So you and I are both in for over 750,000.
Yes.
3 kids.
Before college. And they also have, I'll put the link up on our show page at whatfreshhellpodcast.com. They do have, if you want to just depress yourself, a cost of raising a child calculator.
No thanks.
If you want to regret your life's decisions, you can, take that for a spin. I don't recommend it, but it's there.
I was in Florida this weekend and I was talking to a guy and he said he went out on a boat with a very wealthy friend of his and they were like puttering around at sunset on the boat. And he was like, I think I want to get a boat. And his friend took out his wallet and threw a $100 bill overboard. And he was like, oh my God, what are you doing? What are you doing? You just threw money. And he's like, yeah, you're not ready to have a boat. Like, if you can't stand the sight of money just being completely wasted, like that, you know, I mean, you could have a baby or you could just go to your bank, check out all your money and light it on fire.
Like bonfire in your backyard. Yeah. Well, I want to take the other side of this. Avenue Mama, Annie, who's a listener, she says you should have how many your heart tells you to have. Yes, money is important, but I was raised as a refugee and we were an immigrant family of 7 and there was enough for all of us.
Well, and that is something that we've talked about in other contexts. And my husband has an expression, packing takes as long as you have.
Yes,
like absolutely. If you got to leave in 20 minutes, you can pack. And if you've got 3 days, it could take 3 days. Kids are as expensive as much money you have. You know, I mean, they will take up all your money. If you have no money, they will take up all your money. And if you have billions of dollars, they will take up all your money.
Absolutely.
So money, I think, yeah. I mean,
it's something to consider, but yeah, it shouldn't be the deciding factor.
We have to talk about this from our middle of the spectrum or privileged end of the spectrum. Like, of course, we're not talking about like you're absolutely desperate. You have to choose which kid to feed. Like, we're talking about kind of the middle of the road experience of this. And I do think in that case, I was once at a wedding, and in their vows, they were like, let's never fight about a problem that money can solve. And the person sitting next to me was like, easy for you to say, rich people. But yeah, I mean, money is one of those issues that affects people differently. But I do think if you sit there and do the calculator as part of deciding how to have kids, you're kind of missing out.
Yeah, I might not have had more than one if I knew it cost $233,000. So forget yeah. I said that. Don't listen.
And somehow it's not like writing it. It's like people who always say, we'll have kids when we're ready. I'm like, enjoy having that baby when you're 86.
Right.
It's not going to happen before then.
That's true. That's true. Another factor that really plays into this is where you live in the country.
For sure.
J. Cruff 13, she said, 2 is perfect for us in the D.C. area, but 3 worked for my family growing up in Northeast Pennsylvania. A lot depends on where you live. We couldn't afford more than 2 in daycare down here.
Right. And, you know, I live in a suburb of New York City, and every time I meet someone, I say, where are you coming from? And they say Brooklyn. And I'm like, ah, yes, the Great Migration. Like, people have the second or third kid, they're in a 1 or 2 bedroom apartment, and they come out to the suburbs. And so definitely, like, you're not going to have 7 kids in Manhattan, probably. There are people who do it, but, you know, you're not going to have, if you're in a tiny apartment and that's where you're going to stay, it makes it a little harder to have a huge family.
I have two friends with 4 kids in Manhattan, and I have no friends with more than that. Yeah. And even that, like, I can name the 2 because they're unusual.
Yeah.
How about what kind of car are you willing to be seen driving?
This is a screed trigger for me, Amy. Screed trigger warning. I, of course, drive a minivan. And people who screed against the minivan, I just don't understand it. Like, it's over already. Like, no one is looking to you to be the arbiter of cool. If you've got 3 kids and you're shoving them in a Mustang because you don't think a minivan is cool, I just don't understand you. I cannot relate to that mindset at all.
I'm saving my thoughts on this for another episode because I think the minivan deserves its own episode. But
Minivan. I mean, God bless the minivan.
It's unsung.
It's up there with the polio vaccine for me. Like, thank God someone thought of this because we just were on a trip and we had to rent a car, and the 3 kids sat across the back for 4.5 hours driving across Texas. And I was like, I'm pulling over and letting you out. I'm
non-starter.
Done. I don't want to be a parent anymore.
Yeah. But it does. If you have 3 kids in car seats at the same time, which is many of us now that they're supposed to be in a car seat or a booster until
they're
like
17.
14. Yeah. 6 feet tall. There are many, many cars that you can't fit 3 car seats in a row across the back seat. And then if you have the minivan,
and if you do, you're like breaking your knuckles every time you have to put the seatbelt on. He's touching me. Like, I would like, whoever invented the minivan, you have my undying support and love. And minivan haters, I'm sorry, I cannot
just
relate.
Find
to
another
you.
Podcast.
Yeah, this is not your podcast. I hate to lose a listener, but if you are against the minivan, this is not the podcast for you.
How about how much you like babies and kids as being a factor in this?
We were supposed to think about that?
Can I tell you what our listener, Amy W., not Amy Wilson, different Amy W., she says, when we got married, we thought we'd have 2. 10 years later, we have 4, 9, 6, 2, and a newborn. And although I think we're done, now that she's here, I could honestly do another. I'm 35. We have a big house. We have enough money. I love babies, and they are more enjoyable every time.
Wow.
Send your kids to Amy W.
Amy W., you are something else.
I'm not sure you're done, Amy W. You've got some runway.
Amy W. is going for 5. I can feel it. I can feel it in my bones.
She makes it sound easy. And
I feel like once you've crossed the Rubicon of 3, well, no, let me rephrase. I feel like the Rubicon is really 4. Like, 4 is a lot of kids. And 5, you're starting to head. My sister-in-law has 4, and she had 4 in 6 years. And they were 23 when they started. So we were kind of like, everyone was kind of like, how many do you think we're going for? Like, we started to have those conversations of like, are we like into 12 territory? Because she's a great mom. She loved it. And I remember four, we were having a conversation and it's like five, you've really got to make the decision that you're going to be the church van family. Like, that's a different Rubicon, you know, like at four, you're still fitting the minivan comfortably.
Yes.
I mean, even at five, you could shove that one in the middle seat in the back. That's not really supposed to be a seat. But, you know, then you're really getting into like, you have to really restructure your life to be a family. I know people who have six, but it is a little, there are some Rubicons involved.
You know, in New York City, it's a particular Rubicon of even two to three and then three to four totally, because you are not really supposed to take five people in a taxi.
Now, that's right.
If we all try to go somewhere and we're like, just get in. And we like try to like play it like really cool. And when my daughter was younger, she'd sit on my lap and I just would seatbelt both of us. Now we're
That was totally safe. That was a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
No problem. In a crash, that would have worked out fine.
No problem. That's how it happens in New York City. But anyway, like, yeah, so five, you can kind of sometimes get away with if the driver decides to look the other way, but sometimes not. And if you're a family of six, forget it. Two taxis everywhere. And then just welcome to the poorhouse. Are you kidding me? That's not really tenable.
And also, you live in an apartment with seven people. It's insane. Yeah. All right. We have so much more to say about this. We'll be right back.
Margaret, exciting news. I am about to have a new baby nephew. And believe it or not, this will be my 13th nephew.
Amy, you're ready to give up your amateur status. You're a pro aunt at this point.
Our family has seen a lot of babies. And as soon as they start standing or walking, I send them all a whole lot of Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 don't have ordinary diaper tabs. Instead, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your newly mobile little one.
Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, crucial once your baby is quite literally up and at them. And that gap-free fit helps prevent your baby from taking off their diaper, a habit you do not want them to get into.
You can say that again. And Pampers Cruisers 360 just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we even elaborate on the need for that, friends? For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated, because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practice after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SportsResearch, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order.
And now, a handy guide for deciding how many children are right for your family from the What Fresh Hell podcast. One child.
You enjoy having a ton of free time and also are not averse to spending like a lot of your life talking to a child. Two children.
You are down to physically manufacture a playmate for your first child and to arbitrate disputes for 18 years straight. Three children.
You've always longed to have a big family. Also, disposable income is not a priority for you. Neither is silence. And you're good at making pancakes really fast. Four children.
You figure you've got the minivan, you might as well fill it, right? I mean, that and you're hedging your bet against a couple of them turning out weird. Five children.
Constant joyful chaos is where you thrive, baby. Or also maybe you run a farm? Six children.
I mean, maybe you're religious?
I'm not really sure what's happening, to be honest. I mean, six? Seven children or more.
You just have so much love in your heart, you don't know what to do with it. And you're hoping for a reality show. This has been a handy guide for deciding how many children are right for your family from the What Fresh Hell podcast. Amy, did you know, if anyone knew this, you did, Amy, 90% of people fall short of the FDA recommended guidelines for at least one vitamin or nutrient?
I didn't know that, but I was probably falling short on all of my recommended vitamins or nutrients, but not anymore, Margaret, because every morning I open the cabinet to get out the cereal boxes for the kids, and right there I have my Care Of vitamins. I went online to takecareof.com and I took the online quiz. It was short, easy, and fun.
And then Care Of delivers completely personalized vitamin and supplement packets right to your door. I was a little worried that after I took the quiz that I got the improve your mood vitamins. I think they're kind of judging me.
You did.
You grab one and go. It's easy to take, and remember which to take. Like, it's already packaged for you. You don't have to go through six different bottles and be like, now I need the colostamine or whatever. You just take what's in the packet. It even has your name on it.
It's so easy to take, you can't not take it. And that's the point. You got to take the things, right? And Care Of also offers pre and postnatal supplements with accompanying research to help mothers and babies alike stay their healthiest.
And most importantly, they are offering a deal for our listeners for 25% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins. Visit takecareof.com and enter the code LAUGHING.
That's takecareof.com and the code LAUGHING for 25% off your first month of personalized vitamins. You're unique, so is Care Of. Okay, so I thought we would start with smaller families and talk about why those are the best, or the people who have them think they're the best, and then move up. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and I mean, just in case my kids are going back and listening to these episodes as adults, no offense, but when I see people with only children, I'm like, that seems like it would have been a really good idea.
Only children are the fastest growing demographic in America.
I have friends with only children and they go to Europe on vacation with their kid. And I'm like, wait, what now? It just seems like such a lovely lifestyle.
Lauren Sandler wrote about having an only child for Time Magazine. And she said this, I love this quote. Singletons offer the rich experience of parenting without the consuming efforts that multiple children add. All the wonder and giggles and shampoo mohawks, but with leftover energy for sex, conversation, reading, and so on.
Ugh.
And I was like, reading?
Wow, it's too late for me, but enjoy your lives, parents of onlys.
Sounds
reading?
Good.
I think I've heard of that. Yeah, I mean, I know people who are onlys and I know people who are reluctant only child parents, only in that they grew up with siblings and they were not able to have more than one kid. And there's some loss and heartache in that. And I understand that. And I think I would have felt the same if I ended up, which there was a great possibility of me doing, ending mm-hmm. up with only one child when mm-hmm. I started so late. When I look at it from the outside, it seems extremely appealing.
I think some of the, the past stigma of, only children, it's not right for the kid, that has sort of gone away because studies have proven all of the benefits that only children have. Are you ready to hear a few?
Yeah. I mean, you don't even have to tell me.
Yeah, you don't have to tell you.
Imagine them, but run through them quickly.
Daniel Goleman, the psychologist who studies emotional intelligence and, all that kind of thing. He wrote a book saying that the personal attention that only children get leads to higher academic success, higher IQs, and higher self-esteem.
Yeah, and less personal injury damage from being constantly punched in the head by your siblings. You cannot discount that as a factor of
that's
only
true.
Child success.
There's, the one-on-one attention. It's the same thing for an oldest child, I guess, but the one-on-one attention they get is undoubtedly useful for their young brains.
Yeah, shout out to only children parents.
Good only job, children guys. Know how to play by themselves, and there's less chaos involved, which makes a calmer mom. There's a study. You want to hear the study?
Okay.
Hans-Peter Kohler, you know him. He's a population sociologist.
Oh, no, he's great. I always study his stuff.
I have his
t-shirt picture on it, yeah.
He surveyed 35,000 Danish women, which I think this is, I'm going off script here, but aren't Danish people already the happiest people in the world? Didn't somebody just prove that
so
recently?
So they may not count, but okay.
So women in Denmark with one child said they were more satisfied with their lives than women with no kids or women with more than one child. So Dr. Kohler's conclusion was, at face value, you should say that you'll stop at one child to maximize your subjective well-being.
Oops.
Too late.
Dr. Kohler, where were you in 2008? That's what I want to know.
I mean, that's a very Danish point of view, but I mean, it's not without merit, probably.
Let's talk about twosies.
Okay. So we have a bunch of, should we read some of the things that our listeners said about two kids and why two is best? By the way, two kids is, it's still the American average.
Is it two point something?
2.4. Yeah. But it's still like what the, and the average, even the average is changing. Like average means like 37%. It's not, you know, it's not a overwhelming average, but anyway, Shannon says two hands, two kids.
Well, that was, I mean, my mom, when I called 3 years into my marriage to explain that I was pregnant with my third child, she was like, yep, you're out of hands. That's exactly what she said to me. And my mom had three almost Irish triplets, three in exactly 3 years, like one every year. And yeah, two is a good number as well.
She, Marianne says, we have a saying around here, go play with your sister. That's why we had her. So I guess two.
Yeah.
That's like some families say that they have, like they had the second child to be like the bone marrow donor, and Marianne had the second to go play with her. That's what we have.
Well, there is something about that, that like, you know, although I have, parents of onlys have told me often, like they go on vacation and it's like the kid always just finds another kid. Like they don't, you know, it's not like the myth of like, oh, you have to spend all your time playing with them. But the other thing I will say for the second kid, I've known people who were extremely like nervous, kind of caught up in their kid parents. And I always give them the advice, have another kid. Like it, when you're pouring too much like anxiety and, oh my God, I can make this work and make it be perfect into one kid, the second kid kind of splits the fire hose a little bit, and it just kind of relaxes it for both.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Alex says, as the parent of a three-year-old and a one-month-old, I feel like the answer is two, but I fully recognize this is completely due to the fact that both of my kids are at ages which make the prospect of another child seem like self-flagellation.
So this is a debate I want to wade into, because this is something I've always said. People, when I had a three-year-old, a two-year-old, and an infant, people would always say, I can't believe you had your kids so close together. And what I would always reply is, I can't believe people get out of the baby phase and then have another kid. Like, I can't believe, there was a marathoner interviewed in the New York Times, and he ran it in whatever, like two hours and 6 minutes. And they were like, how can you run in 2 hours and 6 minutes? And he's like, I can't understand how people can run for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's the thing of like, you chewed your leg out of the bear trap and then you stepped in another bear trap. That to me is having a kid when you have a five-year-old, whereas you're already in like diaper, wipes, formula, baby food hell. You might as well just like keep having them as quick as possible. And then we're all out together now.
I'm that too. I had 3 and 5 years, and I am in the, when the diapers are done, the diapers are done phase. But there are people who take the other side of that and say, have them spread farther apart, because then they can help, which was true in my family.
Yeah. And the rebuttal to that I would say is like the people who have the 16-year-old and the infant, like that. But then again, I think I project onto that the 16-year-old is going to be like a full-time au pair. They're not. They're going to be like, stop talking to me, you annoying mom. I'm not going to change.
Yeah. I was that 16-year-old, and mm-hmm. and so was my mom. My mom was the oldest of 8, and then I was the oldest of 6. So I definitely helped out, changed diapers, babysat for free a ton. I probably was not as 100% selflessly, you know, chambermaid that I thought I was. You know what I'm saying?
Cinderella, like
Yeah. I think my mom let me live my own life a little bit, but I did help out a lot. But I kind of liked it. It made me really excited to be a mom. So
it doesn't really have to be 18 now that I say it. Like I always used to say when my kids were really little, like if I had like a 5, 4, and 2-year-old, I was like, as long as there's a 9-year-old girl in the backyard, we can sit and relax, because that, like, the girl will always come and be like, the baby's, you know, eating a squirrel or something, you know, like she'll, the 9-year, all you need is like a 9-year-old girl.
All you need, if there's one takeaway from this, just make sure you have a 9-year-old girl somewhere in your family mix.
At least, or rent one, you know.
Or, yeah, or from next door. I wanted to say what Jillian said, because I thought this was funny. My number is 2. When we are out places, I am constantly counting them. 1, 2. To keep track of them. I can't handle more than that.
Well, I have a cousin who's one of, I mean, some ridiculous, it's literally like 12 or 13. Like he's from that kind of family where they have a million kids. I think it's 11. He's one of 11. And I said, well, what is that like being one of 11? And he's like, you spend a lot of time at gas stations waiting for your parents to realize they forgot you. It's like to count to 11, you're going to lose them all over the place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Two is very easy to keep track of.
So the sort of most off-spoken benefit of having two is the one of each argument. Now, I have three kids. I had two boys first. I would have been very happy with two boys. Or three boys, you know, the end. I didn't feel strongly about having one of each gender, but a lot of people with two kids who have one of each are like, I have one of each. Why would I keep going?
Right. You're done. That's right. You've checked the box. The flip side of two, I think, and I'm from four and I have three, so I can't speak to it from personal experience, but two is like binary system, you know, like you're very, interdependent, like there's some comparison that goes on. I think as your parents get older, it's like you're dealing with it with one other person. It can be fractious too. Like it's the two of you, binary stars.
Gina for Scary Mommy wrote an article called The Argument for Two Children. I'll put the link up on the show page. And she said, I thought this was interesting. There's no such thing with two kids. There's no such thing as two against one. This is something that still remains fresh in my mind. My brothers got along very well, and then there was me, the only girl. The one brother sided with the other against me. There's always that potential with three kids, but when you only have two, they're pretty much stuck with each other. This is totally true in my family. My boys used to fight like a rooster and a dog, but now they get along great because they have a vast topic on which they can agree, and it's isn't our sister annoying? So they do gang up on her, and yeah, not always, and I'll talk about that when we get to the benefits of three kids, but it does happen, and it wouldn't happen with two.
I have a strong feeling on the benefits of three kids, and since we are the world's leading expert in having three kids, since we both have three, I think we should discuss it after the break.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Margaret, it's an exciting news day.
An exciting news day indeed, Amy.
A few years ago, we launched our first spinoff podcast, Toddler Purgatory, hosted by the hilarious Blair Brooks and Molly Lloyd.
And guess what? Now Blair and Molly are back with their all-new podcast, Unsticking It.
You know Blair and Molly as two busy moms and actors. And somewhere between potty training and the pandemic, they both felt like they lost their creative kaboom.
In their new podcast, Unsticking It, they are going to talk about how all of us can get back to what lights us up after motherhood. Amy, I need this.
Me too. And Blair and Molly will be talking to fellow imaginative minds. We're talking actors, artists, and creators of all kinds about how we can all unstick ourselves from whatever muck we're stuck in.
Follow, subscribe, and listen to Unsticking It wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
So, my reigning theory of having three kids is the valve sibling. That like the binary star problem with two kids, when you have three, there's always another option, which I kind of like. Like you and me are annoying each other. I can complain about you to the third sibling. Like it's like the steam builds up between two, and then the third is the valve that lets the steam off. That's how I see three kids.
You know, I was just saying before that my boys gang up on their sister, which they do often, but that's not the only thing that happens, because the other thing right? When there's two kids, there's one possible relationship. When there's three kids, there's three possible dyads that could be occurring. And in each one of them, my kids are a different person.
And they have a different dyads relationship. Dyads and binaries, we are like really rocking the SAT words today.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like my 14-year-old is a different person when he's happily engaged with his 10-year-old sister than when he's engaged with his 15-year-old brother. He's a different person, and so is my daughter, and so is my oldest, and they have different relationships with each other. When any one of the three is missing from the equation because they're at a birthday party or a sleepover or whatever it is, the dynamic shift in the house is incredibly different, right? First of all, it seems incredibly easier, and it also seems incredibly different, whoever's missing.
And I'm one of four, which I think we can extend a lot of this out to, and like alliances form and break. It's kind of Game of Thrones. Like there's constant shifting of like, you know, and my sister has two. So the cousin group that I spend a tremendous amount of time, my three and her two, there's five. And it's like every summer that we go away, we're like, oh yeah, this time my 6-year-old girl and your 9-year-old boy are hanging out together the whole time. Like it's just, and the 2 9-year-old boys are off, you know, whatever it is, like that ability to find different alliances. And it's kind of the thing we talk about of like, oh, the kids know, like if you go away and if you loosen your grip on your kids, the kids start to know like, oh, Aunt Suze can take care of me or Mom and Dad can take care of me. Like in the family, it's like, okay, well, I can have a close relationship with this sibling and not. And it's like it shifts a lot. So it feels like it's not quite so fraught.
Our listener, Alex, she says, having been raised in a family with three kids, I always thought three. You always have someone to complain about your other sibling with.
Very important.
And you won't be alone if one of your siblings goes off the deep end.
Very
good points. Good points, right?
We don't really talk a lot about, it's a kids podcast, obviously, but adult siblings, I do think like as you start to deal with like becoming the adults, parents' illnesses, those kind of things, like having that extra sibling is kind of nice because it's like, okay, you know, something tough is going on in the family, dad's sick, whatever. Someone's not handling it well. The two of us will take this one. You know, like it kind of, again, it's the valve, like the pressure of the family unit just gets dispersed a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for that.
Now the number one, I'm sure you've heard this joke before, that once you move from two kids to three kids, you move from man-to-man defense to zone defense.
Yes.
And I mean, I mostly hear like dad say that, but it's true. And I often hear that spoken as like why I couldn't ever have a third because it just gets too much harder. And so I wonder, that wasn't really my experience for me moving from two to three. And I wonder if for you, what was the biggest change for you? Like one to two or two
zero
to three?
To one. Zero I to one. I always say zero to one.
Yeah, and of course it was zero to one.
Have my second marathoning metaphor of the episode, if you can believe it.
Wow.
I know. I don't know why that happened, but here we go. I used to run marathons and I was never a sporty person, was never in shape, like never until I was in my 20s, had never run like farther than to catch bus. And I just decided I kind of wanted to take on something to get in shape and like to just sort of pursue like being healthy in a way that I had never been. And so I started buying a book. I went and bought a book and started training for a marathon. And marathoning, like parenting, it's just the first mile is the hardest. Like the first mile is like, I can't run. I like sitting still. I don't like running. And then the second mile is never harder than the first mile. And then the third mile is the same. And then suddenly you're doing 26 miles. Like I think it's a very good metaphor for having kids. Like sitting still is easy and running is hard, but running 26 miles is not that much harder than running 1 mile.
Wow. Okay. I get it. That makes sense to me.
That's basically how I come out on having kids. Like, I mean, yes, financially in a lot of other ways, but tactically, I just think having six would not be, it's not, this is what I always tell people, because I think when you have one, you are doing 100% childcare. And so then the idea of having two is like, how can you do this? It's not, having children is not exponential. There's always 100% of work and the people and the new kid folds under that umbrella. It's not that it gets exponentially harder.
I just saw a video on Facebook last night that really relates to this for me, even though it wasn't supposed to be about parenting. A teacher put it up and it was showing kids what's important in life and how to make room for what's important. But it seems to me to relate much more closely to what we're talking about. It was filling a jar, mason jar. The teacher put in like 6 ping pong balls. Class, is this jar full? Yes. Then he took out a, you know, big bag of beads and dumped all the beads into the jar. Now is this jar full? And the kids were like, yes, 2 kids, it's full. Now he takes out a bag of sand and he dumps in an entire bag of sand all around. And of course it fits. Of course it fits. Now it's is full. The jar full? Yes. Then he puts in, you know, a huge glass of liquid, which the sand soaks up. So you think the jar is full, you think you couldn't possibly do it, and there's always room for the sand, the water, the beads. It's just the point this teacher was trying to make is put your ping pong balls in first, because you can't put the sand in first. You have to put in the things that matter first. But for me, it was more a metaphor about there's room. The jar, the jar is your parenting, and you have a ping pong ball in it. And you're like, my jar's full. No, it's not. You could do more. It's just, do you want to?
Let me just say, guys, if you were in search of some really solid, how many kids should you have metaphors, you came to the right place today, because that's a really solid metaphor, Amy. Yeah. I'm not going to say it's better than my marathoning metaphor, but it's really solid.
It's different. It's also special. We have some listeners who have 4 or more children.
God bless them.
They have lots of stuff in their jars and they love it. Chana says, I just had my 10th.
Oh, God.
I haven't found the perfect number yet. I'll keep going till
Chana,
I do.
Chana, for God's sakes, Chana. God bless you.
Julie says, I have 3, but that's only because my husband was actually concerned that we should be able to feed, clothe, and educate them. If it were my decision, I'd have given Michelle Duggar a run for her money.
I find that fascinating. I mean, 10. God bless them.
Yeah.
Michelle Duggar numbers. Corey has 5. It's great. Always someone in a mood like your own to play and hang out with. Now, that's kind of a fun version of it. Like, if you have 5, the chance that one of them is in a good mood is higher.
Right.
There's right. If you've you're won, never bored. You're like on the roller coaster with their mood. You know, like, it's kind of like how they come in the door. But I do find that even with 3. Like, how was today? Terrible. Awful. Great. Like, someone's in a good mood, right. Usually.
Right. And the more, my sister Molly has 4 and her boys, they interact well with each other. And it does lead, I'll tell you what, when you're in a big family, you grow up a little more like, okay, I can make this work. You grow up very flexible and very able to get along with different kinds of people, because that was a skill you developed every day in your playroom.
I do also think, though, going back to the onlys thing, like that thing of like, this is where you get socialized. You spend 8 hours a day in school.
Right.
Like, you're already learning that lesson more than you're at home. So relax about, you know, like, yes, it does help you socialize. It does help you live in community and communion with other people. Like, the thing of like, my need is not primary. It's a great lesson. But you also, if you don't get that at home, you're getting it other places.
I grew up in a family of 6 and I loved it. And it's funny because I didn't want 6 kids of my own. But I think it's because I had, you know, dreams of the stage and Hollywood. And I had professional goals I wanted to accomplish. And I thought that was probably incompatible with 6 kids. Although look at Mia Farrow. So who knows? Who can say? But I...
Listen, she had other problems. Maybe that's not the route to go.
But I loved being in a big family. And I wouldn't trade that for anything. And as you were saying, as an adult, the benefits that I reap from having a bunch of siblings. We were just all away. My parents' 50th anniversary is this year. And we all went away. And there are 26 of us in one very large house with 13 bedrooms. But we all went on vacation together. And, you know, the other benefit, this is long-term benefit, but when there's 6 kids, there is 14 grandchildren. There are cousins out the ears. And
as my grandpa Billy Mack likes to say, y'all been begettin' and begettin'.
Begettin'. We can hardly all fit in one photograph. And it's a wonderful experience. And when you have my relationships with my siblings are very non-fraught, because there's just so darn many of us. So there's no, the, like you were saying about the valve, the third kid's always the valve. When there's 6 kids, it's like the pressure doesn't even have a chance to build up, because it's not, you can't even keep track of who's who's fighting with who. There's no such thing. You just live your life.
I also think, from the point of view of like people who are onlys, children of onlys, whatever, who don't have that, there is a romanticized version of that, and there is a slightly realistic version of that, because I'm from the same kind of family, and like, big families have big problems too, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
There's fights. Like, it's like, you imagine having 6 kids is like, they'll just have 5 best friends for life. Like, maybe not. Like, it doesn't always go the way of like we all get a house together at the beach every summer.
That's true. Yeah.
It often fractures and goes pretty wrong, and it multiplies stress because it's like this brother's doing this crazy thing and this sister's got this problem. Like, it's not always, I mean, this is life in general. Like, oh, I'll have kids and I'll be happy. Or maybe you'll have kids and it'll be terrible. You don't know how it's going to turn out. So big families can sometimes cause big problems too.
There's one good thing. Like, if being a hovering, helicoptering parent is a bad thing for your kids, guess what? When you have a large number of kids, that sort of uber involvement just isn't really possible.
That's another, yeah. I mean, I think that's a really good point. And although it's not really what we're talking about right now, I do want to give a quick shout out in this episode because there are people who have smaller families and we're talking about some advantages of larger families. Forget not the cousins, because I have so many cousins who are like siblings to me. I mean, my first cousins and I are so close. They really are like bonus siblings. And I grew up in a family of four. I don't really need extra siblings, but fostering a great relationship with your kids' cousins. And there are cousins who I'm like crazy close to who I didn't spend a lot of time with growing up. But like, just it's a nice place to find those relationships if you long for the like 28-person house and you only have two kids. Like, I mean, you can do it with friends as well. But like, if this is interesting to you, there are ways to foster these relationships, even if you don't have a lot of kids.
That's true. Right. You can do this with a family of choice as well. If you have a small family and you're from a small family, then create those lifelong relationships, because they don't have to be in the same house, but they are wonderful to have. Here's one other possible advantage to a large family. I have a good friend who is one of 13 children. 13 children, same mom. Same dad, you know, same, they're all full siblings. And it was, of course, great and not so great at once. He came over for dinner.
It was the best of times. It was the
worst. Oh my God. He came over for, like, he has to write a book. He came over for dinner and he just was regaling my kids with the story of, he was somewhere in the middle, like 7, I think. And he said, like, dinner time was 6:30. And it was served once. And if you didn't get home from swim practice until after that, you had to get your own dinner out of the refrigerator. And sometimes there wouldn't be that much left because the younger kids ate it all. Like, that was how it was. And he also said, my parents were like, we cannot go to 13 kids basketball games, ballet recitals, but, you know, like spelling bee. So they went to nothing. He said they went to my high school graduation, and that was the first thing of mine they attended all my life, because they just declared bankruptcy on all of it. We can't go to everyone's. So we're going to go to no one's.
That's
like that.
Funny.
That is freedom. So have enough kids and you don't have to go anymore.
Again, it's not, there are spectrums, but we can learn from the spectrum. You know, like, you're not going to not go to any of your kids' stuff except for their high school graduation. But just remember that, like, if you have one and you're like, oh my God, we've got to go to everything. You still don't have to go to everything. Like,
that's right.
Loosen your grip as if you were a mom of 13. Like, just ask yourself the question sometimes, like, what if I had 5? Like, what could I change? And make some of those changes. It's great to look at the spectrum sometimes and see what takeaways there might be for your own life.
That's true. You can apply that style of parenting and the benefits of that family. You can think about bringing that into your life, even if you have a different number of kids.
For sure. Because it's a good perspective for me, because we're having, you know, just all that stuff of like back to school night and this and all the stuff we have to go to. And it's just, it's too much. We're overbooked. And I just realized last night, like, you know what? I don't have to go to every back to school night. I've been to the third grade back to school night already. I don't have to go to this third grader's back to school. It's fine. You don't have to go to every single thing, or somewhere in the universe, like, your gold star gets erased. It does not happen. It's okay.
Yeah. The best life advice that perhaps I ever received was from
better than my marathoning advice,
better
Let's
than the ping pongs and the
I'd
like, better than
like
marathon, better
that.
Than the beads in the sand. I was 22, 23, and I was trying to decide whether to do a national tour of a play or move to New York and, you know, start hitting the pavement with my picture and resume. Couldn't decide. And, you know, it seemed so horribly important when I was 22. Now I'm like, well, you know, I can hardly remember which one I picked, but at the time it was two roads diverge in a narrow wood. And this older actor that I was working with at the time, I was sort of obsessing about the choice. And he said, just pick one and then make that choice the right decision to have made.
Mm.
Just make your choice the right choice to have made. And I think about that, oh my God, like every other day for my entire life, make the choice you made the right decision to have made. So you make this choice for a lot of reasons, right? Your mental health, where you live, how much you earn, how demanding your job is, all kinds of things. And then you embrace that and then you make that choice the right choice.
Amy, that was really good advice. I was doubting you, but that was solid, good advice.
Or you could take our listener Julie's advice, who says, a friend of mine used to say, the perfect number of kids is whatever you have minus one.
She's not wrong, Julie.
She's not wrong.
Guys, this whole conversation started on a really funny note. I mean, we're not going to really solve this one because, as we said, there's a lot of factors going on, but we solved it to the point of being able to solve it.
The right number of kids is the kids that you have.
Yes, make it the right decision. And this discussion was so funny on the Facebook page, and we want to continue the discussion. So come to our Facebook page, facebook.com/WhatFreshHellCast, and continue the conversation.
There also is starting to be a lot of conversation on our Instagram page. That's become a place where a lot of people are telling us what they like about the episode and you know, sending us funny stuff. And we love that too. Instagram is also WhatFreshHellCast. And I'm also going to put links to all the studies and whatever that we discussed on our show page, because I always do, WhatFreshHellPodcast.com.
And don't forget Twitter at WFH Podcast. And I'm going to ban you, Amy, from putting that calculator. If you put a link to that calculator anywhere, I'm taking it.
Then the United States population will suddenly take a sharp decline, yes. And everybody will wonder why. It'll be because happened? I told you to check the calculator.
Amy put the calculator up, and that was the end of childbirth, yep, in the United States forever. All right, guys. Well, go and take care of whatever number of kids you have, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.